Hello, everyone. It's me, your boy, Ben Taylor, the Ranger of Greatness. I've dropped the color thing. I've risen beyond color. I am Gandalf the White. No, I'm not. We're here for the season finale for Turbo. We're talking about chasing to space and just generally wrapping up the season. Here with me, we've got the Edge to my Christian, the Skull to my Bulk, the Bret Hart to my Jim the Anvil Neidhart, Michael Lindebaum. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
We've got our Blue Ranger, Brian. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Last I checked, I'm pink, but hey, semantics, tremantics. How's it going, bud?
You're always blue in my heart, my friend.
Oh.
After all, it is your handle.
Yes.
And named after the one, the only, the greatest superhero in the Marvel Universe, Billy Kaplan, our forever Red Ranger, Sasha. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for that glorious introduction, sir.
Well, we're not going to hear it too much anymore because you changed your Twitter handle. So.
I mean, it's still my name.
That's true. It's true.
So I just don't need my name advertised on Twitter so much.
That's true. So we're going to be talking about racing to space today. But because this is a season finale sort of wrap up, I'm kind of not going to go as blow by blow with things as we may do in some of the more individual episodes, because there's a lot more sort of general story arc stuff that I want to talk about, right? And it starts right out of the gate in the episode with what is actually really my personal first opportunity to talk about Justin and his dad. We see here that Justin's father is going for an interview, a big interview. And this is sort of the culmination of Justin's arc as a Power Ranger, which is his father left him alone to go work. And now we're seeing that coming back around, and the father's been around for a little while now. And Justin's story never sat well with me. It felt a little bit like they were, like they say he was in an orphanage at one point, and I'm like, that's not how orphanages work.
I think that's how we're
still alive.
I think that's how we're introduced to him in the movie.
Yeah.
Either that or foster care or something.
No, they literally say orphanage because it's a trip from the orphanage to go see Rocky fight.
Yeah.
It was a really weird character change. Like, I feel like that's something that was like a rewrite or something, or they had to make that work from the movie into the show.
Like, they needed a way to get Justin out of the show, so they brought his dad back. And they were like, oh, this will get him out easy. I don't know. What are your thoughts on Justin's arc and the stuff with the dad and everything?
So we never really got much of development of or any sort of context as to what his relationship with his dad was, other than like his dad couldn't always be there for him, which is why he really latched onto the Rangers, and ignoring the bit about him being I'm pretty sure they probably didn't want to have television and film rooms being different. They probably didn't want to like go into the whole orphan child thing in a kids show. But my first note that I have is, oh, Justin has a dad.
Well, he'd come back a little bit earlier in the season, hadn't he?
No, I think he literally just came back this episode before.
Okay.
So,
That's why I don't remember him because I didn't review that episode.
And that's why, like, my note is, for the opening of the episode, Justin definitely being overbearing on his dad who recently returned.
Yeah.
Overbearing is the right word. I think
having to straighten your own father's tie is a bit stupid.
That was I don't know if that was supposed to come off as cute or something, but I don't
Yeah.
know. Anyways.
It was just meant to show that his dad is nervous about the interview and a little scatterbrained, that's all. But we've also established that Justin is really not like other kids his own age. He is very mature. He's very smart. I mean, he's in high school, even though he's like 12.
Yeah, he's a brainiac for sure.
So he is a little different than your average 12-year-old. So personally, that didn't really bother me.
But also something else to kind of keep in mind, like outside of the one-off episode where you got to see the Rangers' parents in Mighty Morphin season one, and really kind of an overarching thing with Kim when it came to like her parents and at times, you don't ever really see who the parents are. Like Aisha lived with Kimberly. You know, we didn't know where Adam and Rocky lived because when Aisha came, Kim was like, "Oh yeah, my mom said it's okay that you live with us." That's how that it was literally just a throwaway line to just throw it out there. You know, we don't know where Adam and Rocky lived. We don't know where any of these new Rangers live. We don't know where Catherine lived either. So
We
it's
also
like,
still don't know how Cassie's here, considering she was on her way to an aunt in Stone Canyon.
yeah, so it's like, you know, the whole thing with Justin and the orphanage and stuff like that, it's like, yeah, it was them trying to do something, especially in the movie, that never got carried over in the show. But that's also kind of standard Power Rangers for the most part, especially in the Zordon era. Their home is the power chamber. You
Pretty
know.
much. Do we know what happened to his mother?
I don't think
Not.
so.
Somebody go check the Ranger Wiki stat.
I'm on it.
The wiki. Yeah, it's just this really weird, they put themselves into this really weird situation where they set up this person with this fairly tragic backstory and they couldn't backpedal out of it quick enough, could they?
Yeah, I've got the answer here.
Okay, go
Do
ahead.
tell.
Justin's mother passed away several years ago, leaving Justin alone with his father, Doug.
Okay.
So,
He passed
yeah.
away. All right. But yeah, I don't know what the whole Justin thing never felt right to me. Especially when,
Same.
like, as we made a joke of it earlier in the season, he's very quickly becomes the most experienced Ranger on the team. And yet the others are having to act like surrogate parents to him.
Because kicking and punching bad guys and dealing with the emotion and turmoil of being a teenager are two very different things.
Yeah, he does 1v1 Elgar in the first episode. So, speaking of which, having a planet called Eltar and a bad guy called Elgar in the same season confused the heck out of me. But that's not something we need to talk about. I just thought I'd bring it up. All right, so we're introduced to the monster of the episode. And he basically absolutely destroys both of the Zords, the rescue Megazord and
Turbo
the
Megazord.
Turbo Zord in like 3 minutes.
Well, here's an interesting thing about it. Gold Goyle, which is the name of the monster, he's billed as bigger than any Megazord, but yet when he fights the Megazords, they're the same height. I'm like, could they like not get like a
Tall
seven
guy.
f like they couldn't get like a 7 foot tall wrestler that like come in and like be taller than the guy who's in the Megazord suit, who's probably like 6 feet tall.
Bringing Kevin Nash, he was Super Shredder.
But yeah, like there's this moment where the rescue Megazord's getting blown up, and TJ's first thing is like, "Oh, let's just self-destruct." And I'm like, that's where you go first, not let's retreat and get the other Megazord, or let's call the Blue Centurion, or
Well, the Blue
no,
Centurion
Blind
wasn't
Centauri
there at that
left.
point. He left.
They hadn't left yet. He leaves. They leave
No, it
later in the
says.
episode.
No, Ben's right. Ben's right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You take it back. Okay.
Because they don't leave until after they find out that Eltar is getting invaded, which happens after both Megazords blow up.
I feel like it would have worked better if the scene had come beforehand.
Or if they'd left at the beginning of the last episode, at the end of the last episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See.
Like, no point did they go, oh, Blue Centurion, we could use your help, or I don't know, let's have two people run one Megazord and two people run the other Megazord, because they've done that before. Like,
I think here, for TJ, because one thing I've definitely noticed is like this is a very TJ-centric episode. If you actually look at this episode, because this episode's more TJ-centric, the next episode is more Divatox-centric in a way, and war-centric. And so I think that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to establish TJ of like a leader under true pressure, trying to be, more out of the box. And plus also let's keep in mind this is a two-parter where, we know for a fact by the name of the episode is a chase in the space. So
Right, I
there's gotta
get
go no
that,
change.
but what I'm trying to say is the idea. I'm not poo-pooing the idea of blowing up the Megazord. I'm poo-pooing of blowing up the Megazord 30 seconds into the fight. Right? Not at least trying something else first.
I mean
He goes from naught to like 800 in 0.3 seconds.
Yeah, because I know like when he goes into the Nexazord, the Turbo Megazord, that thing takes a beating. Like that thing is like unsalvageable at that point, which then leads to him, getting that little blaster that they got
Yeah,
in the
the
pizza
RAM.
episode. Yeah. And getting with Lightning Cruiser and just like, all right, this is like last shot, try to take out the monster. And he, shoots the
Throws it in
thing.
the mouth.
Yeah, he sets that to self-destruct and then shoots it in the mouth, and then that's
I'm
what
beginning to
ultimately.
wonder if TJ just doesn't really like explosions. Because, like, self-destruct is kind of his thing at this point.
But it in a way, it's like if this is a monster, like because they did throw some heavy shots at it before, with the rescue Megazord that it just laughed off. And so it's like, in a way, it's like we just threw our best shot maybe two times and he's laughing at us. What's the next? And then we're taking blows too, and we're having issues with our shields. And, I know with the Turbo Megazord was the one that had the where they literally lost weapons outright and stuff like that. So it's like, you're having to like make those decisions on the fly. And I think they're really trying to establish that with TJ. It's like because they have been kind of building him up to this point a little bit off and on to be that leader. And that's how I really took a lot of that. It's an interesting thing that happens here because, this fight happens and they go through two Megazords and like a huge part of their arsenal in order to take this dude down. And you could look at that as like, yeah, TJ's like working on the fly and doing all that, but also it kind of also shows that like despite them working together, there is a little bit of an experience there because like they lost two Megazords so quickly. You know what I mean? And yes, it's an overbearing enemy that's come down and done this, but it's like, I don't know. It's kind of just the circumstance of like, oh, well, this is what has to happen for us to win. But it kind of shows that they still have to like learn some stuff, I guess, maybe. Like that could be
Well,
an argument I could make.
it does get into the sort of because the weapon what happens is before TJ suggests they sacrifice the Zord, the weapons go offline and it's very chaotic. And they are, although they've gotten a lot stronger as Rangers, because we've seen them through the whole Phantom Ranger arc and whatever, they're not the same Rangers that have been at this for 3 years or 2 year, whatever timeline is weird in Power Rangers. So I think the fact that TJ was willing to sacrifice the Zord and say, okay, let's do a self-destruct sequence and let's, I thought it was actually pretty gutsy.
Right, and I'm not saying it wasn't.
No,
I'm saying that how quickly he made that jump was problematic to me. And also, it's something to, and just in general, it felt like the destruction of the Zords wasn't earned. Like when you go back and watch other catastrophic destruction of Zords, Doomsday, etc., 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 or even some that you'll see in the future, it feels earned, right? It feels like the destruction of the Zords was earned by the villain. This was just like, oh, I'm here now. I've blown up both your Zords. We're 7 minutes into the episode. And it's like, that doesn't even. Especially when it's not a plan that the villain has put into action. It's just been like, well, the monster of the week just did it. And it was like,
No, that was the thing though. That was the plan that they put in motion, because she literally said, like I said in my note, Gold Goyle is billed to be bigger than any
yes,
Megazord.
but
It is
he's
a
a
mega,
monster of the week.
but it's
It's
a
not a plan that Divatox has been
but
hatching
when
for
they're
like six episodes.
but when they're billing this monster as a Megazord killer. Because that's literally what they kind of said. Like, not literally killer, because they probably wouldn't be able to use that word in a kid's show. But they pretty much made it known when they brought Gold Goyle in that this was going to be the monster to ultimately destroy the Zords.
No, they didn't, because they've said that we have the ultimate power, strongest power villains. They bring them in all the time.
But they never specifically in past episodes said anything about Megazord specific. They always just said the Rangers. This is the first
Doesn't
time.
matter.
She does describe him as the most destructive monster in the universe, but this is Power Rangers. They've said taglines like this before. It
Exactly.
doesn't
This doesn't
necessarily.
feel like an earned moment, right?
Yeah.
If they'd been fighting the thing all the way through the first episode, and then it gets destroyed at the end of the first episode, fine. It's a long, drawn out fight that the Rangers eventually lose, but they basically get one shot, right? The guy just shows up and beats them, and I'm like, okay, do that 42 episodes ago.
Right.
Right. As opposed to if it had been like over the last couple of episodes, Divatox had been like, oh, if this I'm finally like I've started engineering this thing, da 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 da, and then it finally comes to fruition in this episode, that's one thing. But this is literally just like monster shows up, beats the Megazords. That doesn't feel earned to me, right? Like when we lost the power coins in right before the Alien Ranger saga, right? That felt earned because they built up to it. When we lost the first the Zeo Zords, like sorry, the first set of Power Rangers Zords before they became the
The
like the Ninja
thunders,
Zords, the Ninja Thunder Zords, that felt earned, right? This didn't. It just felt like a monster shows up and kills them.
and I might be able to provide some context into that actually.
Okay.
Okay, so Gold Goyle, his Sentai counterpart is this guy named Reckless Dash Emperor Exhaust, and I'm not going to bore you with a lot of details, but he's actually the evil mastermind of Car Ranger,
Okay.
and what you see in his, like when he's in his robes, that's actually his main form. And then the version that we see is his second fighting form. Not a lot of footage because he's usually interacting with the Car Rangers a lot. And this was their big bad, and this was the fight that they had for their finale.
Okay.
So the Car Rangers probably had earned that where like everything blows up. Unfortunately, with Turbo, we also had a whole second episode with Divatox that I'm not going to bury the lead of yet, but like we had so much other stuff to get to that, hey, we still got to use this fight footage, and that was their finale. Crap, what do we do here? And so it comes off as feeling, because of the context of it, feeling a little unearned because, you have to work with what's happening over in Japan, I guess. So.
After the destruction of the Megazords and the destruction of the creature, the Power Rangers teleport back to the power chamber, answering a question that the four of us have been asking for 5 seasons now, which is, can people see the Rangers teleporting? And the answer is Yes.
Yes.
Because finally, after five seasons, someone has the bright idea to just follow them.
And of all people,
It's
Elgar.
Elgar. Elgar.
Look, he was bound to have a moment eventually.
Yeah, I thought that moment right there, where Elgar sees the Rangers teleporting to the power chamber was just really good, and then them actually going in the trail and then seeing the power chamber and then going back to Diva talk to say, "We actually found it. We really found it." It's like we're not useless henchmen like everyone else has been.
I was legitimately, when I first watched it, because this is only my second time watching Turbo. The first time I saw that, I was legitimately expecting him to go back and go, "We found the power chamber," and D would talk to be like, "Okay, take me there," and then to be like, "We forgot where it was," because that's how they built up Elgar, right?
Yeah. It also builds up a good moment too, because now that Elgar knows where it is, he takes Divatox there. When they arrive with Divatox, that's when Blue Centaurian and Demetria leave, and they see
Yes.
them leave. And that right there, just makes you go, oh, things are about to go down. Like Divatox is like licking her chops here now, and that's like essentially how they end that episode, because it's like, oh yeah. And then they had to do on the next episode Power Rangers.
Which is, yeah, it does defeat the purpose, especially because the music at the end of the episode is really sort of concerning and ominous and kind of like, oh man, things are about to go down. Like, yeah. And all of that gets cut off by next time on Power Rangers.
And shows everything.
Every major beat.
So like, Ben, if you go, all right, talking about part two, I don't care. They showed it all in next on Power Rangers. It's like,
See, that's why I didn't bother to watch that part. As soon as the episode ended, I went to the next episode. But that's the magic of streaming. Though it is weird that that is still up on YouTube in the way that it was
Well,
when
no,
it
that's
ended.
also how it is on the DVD.
So weird. Why?
Because, well, keep in mind, Turbo, and I think a little bit with ZO2, and I think they do this a lot in Space, they do a lot of next time ons.
I understand those on the TV. I don't
Oh,
understand them on the
I
DVD.
think it's just because that's how it's part of it's like baked into the episode as a whole.
Still weird. Still
They
weird.
didn't want to do any work.
It would have been it would have been so much better if it had just been like a cold like credits roll and then that's it and like yeah, because
I
like
mean,
what's
that would have been like, imagine watching that as a kid for the first time and you're like, man, the Rangers are in trouble. What's gonna happen? Like,
Well,
are they
no.
gonna.
Even better, instead of the next time on Power Rangers, after the credits are over, right, you do a shot of all the Piranatrons outside of the power chamber, cut it there, and then you go into your next episode. Like that right there would have just added a little bit more weight to the threat that the Rangers were going to face in the
You
next
guys are
episode.
asking a lot from the creative team at Power Rangers, not gonna lie.
So my next note is just Divatox wins. And it says in brackets, the wrong Divatox, but she wins nonetheless. I don't enjoy Hillary as much as I enjoy Carol in the role. Hillary is much more. The thing I liked about Carol's is it was not only was it very over the top, it was very, I don't know. I can't think of the exact words, but Hillary's portrayal of Divatox is a lot more unhinged. She's more psychotic than like over the top evil and things like that. There's a little bit of overtopness to her, but yeah. But yeah, Divatox wins. The first time in any Power Rangers season that the Rangers are fully defeated.
And I actually had a note like beforehand because you had like all the Piranatrons essentially do all the work. I actually had a note that says it's the Great Piranatron War, Charlie Brown.
So Divatox floods the power chamber with Piranatrons, and they get inside, and Elgar blows up the power stream by pretending to be Thor and throwing a hammer at it because he always carries around a hammer, apparently. Now, no, he doesn't. And then they set explosive everywhere, and there's a huge explosion.
Not to mention, there's no countdown on the explosion. There's just a
Yes,
dead man switch, which begs
finally.
the question.
Why didn't they do that earlier?
Or like ever. Maybe these
They
are new
love their count.
explosives.
Yeah.
There's also this standing question of the power chamber having a front door, when, as far as I remember, it being underground.
Remember when they had to go through the bottom chamber through like some kind of goop wall?
I also distinctly remember needing a power coin to get into the, well, the command center, but like now
They
it's
must
just
have
like
upgraded since the coins don't exist any, well, sort of exist, but don't
sounded more
work
like a
anymore.
downgrade to me.
I liked
But
it. I
yeah,
liked it when the,
yeah,
oh, sorry.
I did too. I don't say I didn't like it. I'm just saying that like they seem to just forget their own rules sometimes, which is
The one thing
part of
that,
us taking this too seriously.
well, the one thing that I really liked was the Piranatrons climbing up the power chamber and then coming in through that tube at the top and just crashing in. Like, that was really cool to see. And,
Also,
like,
is that low-key foreshadowing?
so, but then the other thing was, is that I liked it when they did get on the roof, they're looking at a camera and they take out the camera. Like there's so many good actual moments. It's like it kind of in a way makes you excuse them for getting rid of the Zord so quickly, because it's like this episode was literally just a full-scale war from pretty
I
much the
feel this could have
start.
been a th I honestly feel this could have been a three-parter. Have the first episode be the destruction of the Zords, have the second episode be destruction of the power chamber, and the third episode be the actual chase into space. Right?
Ooh, that would have been interesting. Also, was really like this is slightly unrelated, but I'm always a sucker for seeing the Rangers without helmets. And the funniest thing in all of that is Justin, as always, gets like as soon as he puts the helmet on, like, yeah, he's full grown man. And then as soon as he takes the helmet off, he's a 12-year-old in a superhero suit. It's great. I love you, Power Rangers. Thank you.
But there's also a moment, and you know, it's after Demetria and Blue Centurion obviously leave, and they're looking at the viewing globe or screen or whatever they're calling it, and they're looking out and they're seeing all the Piranatrons coming up, and you just see TJ telling Alpha, "We're gonna go out there and we're gonna fight them. You stay here." And you know,
Yeah,
it's kind of,
because Alf was like, I can still teleport you to save, and he's like, no, we're not leaving you.
yeah, we're not leaving you. And it's like, you know, and it goes back to the previous episode where it's like, you know, where it, again, it was a very TJ-centric episode, and it carries over actually very well into this one because he's like, no, we're not leaving you behind. It's like that we're not no man behind type mentality, and we're gonna fight to defend our place. And you know, TJ really got everyone to rally around him to go out and do that fight out there. I mean, they weren't successful,
They got over. I
unfortunately.
mean, there were a lot of
Yeah, like they got
Piranatrons.
overwhelmed. I mean, even the Lightning Cruiser and Storm Blaster got overwhelmed. Like they got legitimately captured, you know.
And I'm sure we'll never see them again.
But yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, like this was like well done. And then of course you kind of rush the chase in the space portion.
But before we get to that, something that happens right after the destruction of the command center is very interesting. Because there's a random dude that just pops up like a viewing globe and is like, hey, we just took the Cimmerian planet. I need Divatox, we need you to go to space. And Divatox is like, I just conquered Earth. What are you on? And he's like, Dark Spectres, that's what.
Like, oh yeah, I'd like to go on vacation to the Sumerian, galaxy or whatever it was, you know.
Yeah, let me go pack my bags right now.
So,
Yeah.
and I think this is also the first true mention of Dark Spectre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
Because we
I.
get hints during the when we get the millennial message, we get like a hint of like the bad guys all sort of some shenanigans happening that involve what that was our first hint at the United Alliance of Evil, right?
Yeah, and not only that, but I think even when we had Rita and Zed, that there was always hints.
There were more evil people in the galaxy,
Yeah,
but
so yeah.
this is the first time we've ever heard of like an actual like
Mention of Dark Spectre.
unifying force. Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, the first time that Dark Spectre is mentioned and the attitude changes, like I just conquered Earth to like, oh yes, I will be there immediately.
Yeah. So my next note is about Nassad. Definitely not NASA.
Nassada.
Nassada, yeah. So the director knows what Eltar is.
That.
And
Yeah.
somehow has a space shuttle that he can get prepped to fly in minutes, that just so happens to next season form the head of a Megazord.
It's interesting because Justin just like he first of all, Justin breaking into Nasada, I really like that was hilariously unrealistic, but I don't
Yes.
care. It was great. It was great. Typical Power Ranger fashion. But he finally gets in front of the director and he like whispers something to him and then he mentions Eltar. So I wondered he I like the part he whispers is actual nonsense because there's no subtitles for it, but I wonder what was part of the message that ends at Eltar.
I
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Zordon, because I think we actually learn in the first few episodes of the next season about the connection between Nassada and the Power Rangers. I actually think we do learn that legitimately.
Do we? Okay.
I don't
I
think we
think
do.
so.
That is one of those mysteries that is never fully like we do see a couple of occasions of the Power Rangers, I think, working with Nassada, but we don't actually ever get an explanation about
Yeah.
how that connection was formed.
And
Like
how he
it's
has Zord technology.
I
Yeah,
mean, it's
something.
not impossible. And I think even Linkara talked about how there was it's very likely that Zordon had, backups for his backups. And
Yeah.
he knew that eventually maybe the Rangers would have to go to space. So maybe he shared some of his technology with the director with the caveat, but we don't know for sure.
I mean, look at the comics. I mean, you had the thing where you have Grace Sterling, who was essentially the Mighty Morphin team that went into space before there was the team that we knew.
Right, but the comics aren't canon.
They are now, so deal with it.
Well,
No, they're
there's
not.
also
Yeah, they are. That 8 years of comics is canon, so. No,
Well,
they're not.
okay, but
Those comics do not happen in this universe. They
Shattered
happen in
Grid
their
happened.
own, they happen in their own dimension. They did not happen here.
But once Shattered Grid happened, it made everything canon.
Yes, but they are canon to their own dimension. You can't take something that happened in the Boom comic that characterizes people differently, introduces different people as different Rangers, and does everything differently in its own dimension and apply it to the prime dimension. You cannot do that. You can say it's canon once the TV show acknowledges Shattered Grid. You can say it's canon to its own dimension. You can say it's canon to its own continuity. You can say it's canon to the TV show if you want. But those things did not happen in the dimension the TV show is happening in. We talked about this seasons ago when I tried to start reading the comics where in the very first episode, very first issue of the comics, the teens from Angel Grove forget they have a math test. That is not how the Prime Dimension teens are portrayed. Therefore, it is a separate dimension of differently characterized teens. Therefore, it does not happen in the television show dimension.
So I kind of see both sides of this. So what I'll say, and then I'll let Brian jump in because he's been so very patient as this has been going on,
Sorry,
is
Brian.
I do get where you're both coming from, because in many ways the comics fill in some of the gaps that the show doesn't touch. But at the same time, because of characterization and because of character dynamics that we never see, even when we do see the original Rangers returning to the show, it's just kind of, it doesn't quite mesh. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Brian.
Right. Thank you. So what I was going to say about jumping back to and completely not ignoring what just happened.
No,
I agree
please
with,
move us along. Move us along.
Yeah. I could see both sides, what have you, but I'll say that for another time. I feel like because they find that black box, right, that has like, it's like the codex, and maybe Justin
command
has something.
Codes, yeah.
So maybe he mentioned something like that to kind of just authenticate, like, yeah, hey, I'm actually sending a message over to you that's from Zordon.
Yes.
And I feel like, yeah, Zordon's been around and doing stuff since way before even like the Wild West Rangers were a thing. Wild West Rangers. Wow, say that three times fast. So he could have been, you know, he could have had his fingers in many different pies, and he could have absolutely been like, hey, NASA, how's it going? I saw that you went to the moon. Hey, here's some Zord technology I want you to work on, right? That's not a stretch for me. And keep in mind, like, he's also, like, he was the mentor to Gosei and, like, helped him out with stuff. So, like, yeah, like, there's another instance where he helped out with another team there. So he could have very easily...
I'm wondering if there wasn't a moment after Rita got set free on the moon where Zordon reached out to Nassada, who were clearly the astronauts that were on the moon, and went, yo, my bad. Let me make it up to you.
Like Zordon takes like a private call after like the Rangers go and fight like Pudgy Pig or something. It's like, hey homies, how's it going? Hey, look, you know that giant witch that's got like the Madonna bra on and the crazy hair? Yeah, sorry about that. That's my fault. That's my bad, G. Look, we're gonna take care of it, but yeah, sorry.
Here's some tech to work on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's secretly where Billy was always going when he was working on new things. He was going to Nassada.
Honestly,
it makes sense.
It does. That's the thing,
it
right?
Makes sense.
So,
you know, they would have picked up the rad bug on radar, right?
That would have been a very interesting, like, meeting in a cold room with, like, no windows. It's like, where am I? It's like, you're a very interesting person to us, Mr. Cranston.
Also, this moment of establishing this connection between the Power Rangers of Nassada and Nassada essentially sets forth a lot of things that we'll see in Power Rangers to come, right? Because it establishes a connection, not just like, yeah, we need a spaceship, but it establishes some kind of cooperation between the Rangers and Ranger technology and government.
It also shows how human can get access to the morphing grid.
Mm-hmm.
For things like Lightspeed Rescue, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I do find it funny, though, that Justin shows up, right? Civilian garb, obviously, because they don't have powers anymore. And he's like, hey, the Power Rangers need your help. And yeah, okay, the command guy accepts that, no problem. But we just see the Rangers sneaking aboard the space shuttle. He did Justin should have been like, look,
well, no,
about
because
to
they
be
don't
like,
know their identities. That's why.
I know, but it's not like if they showed up, they would have known who these kids are anyway.
But I mean, but keep in mind, it's like, one, they're protecting the identity of them from everyone else because they don't want anyone else to know who they actually are. But then also another key point is actually when they realize with Alpha that Justin is not on the ship with them, you know, they're going like, we're missing Justin. And the way Justin is talking to them from the command center, he's talking to them to not give away to the people there that he's the other ranger that's supposed to be on the ship.
It's
Then at
like double
that point,
speak or
they could have at
something.
least just let them walk right in instead of sneaking, like, hey, there's about to be five, four teenagers coming in colored clothing. Just let them through.
Yeah,
I don't know. But again, like, this is Power Rangers. We don't have to think too deeply on it, and yet we do.
So I think that's the ultimate thing. And I actually think they just said prep the shuttle and then get out of there. And I think when they said they get out of there, that's when they got in on the ship. So, quote unquote, snuck onto the ship. So that's the thing.
And I feel like if the commander is like in cahoots with Zordon, and there's like there's contingencies in plan for this in place for this kind of stuff, then yeah, he's absolutely, because a place like that's going to have cameras everywhere, right? I can imagine him easily going in there and being like, delete this footage right now. This is confidential. Like, mark this from the record. Like, no, this is not meant for anybody to see, even anybody working here, So
Yeah, we're
I
gonna
feel
take that
like,
Men in Black device and we're just gonna blank all your
like a
memories.
neuralizer, yeah.
The neuralizer is like.
So, my final question before we start wrapping the series as a whole up is, are the turbo powers the weakest of all Power Rangers powers? Because it certainly feels like it.
Well, I mean, the Zeo powers don't work in water.
Right, but the turbo powers just don't seem to work. Because they lose every other fight they're in,
Yeah,
even against Piranatrons.
and it's actually interesting. One thing I want to jump back on real quick, like when the power chamber is destroyed, it is actually very interesting seeing the Rangers in the outfits with the helmets off and the suits are torn. I actually did find
I
that
did like
very
that.
interesting. I did like that a lot. It's very interesting because it's not something you commonly saw, and I think we only see it like one other time, but with a helmet being busted and that being Time Force.
Time
No, there's a
Force.
couple of times helmets get busted.
Yeah. I think
Yeah,
also in
Lost
like
Galaxy. Oh, Lost Galaxy? Oh, yeah. Okay. But,
Beast Morphers also.
well, that's on Netflix. That doesn't exist to me until I see it on Blu-ray.
But it's canon.
It is canon. I will agree with that. But it doesn't
Or
exist to me until it goes on Blu-ray.
because it happened in GoBusters, anyways. But yeah.
As y'all can tell, I'm very anti-Netflix, so.
We know. Believe me, we know.
But now the entire community is very anti-Hasbro because who knows what's happening to the franchise.
That's a conversation for a separate episode.
I'll save it for later. I
Yeah,
know, Brian. I feel the feelings that you have right now, but we can't. We'll be here all night.
so
Continue.
are the turbo powers the weakest powers of all Power Rangers? Because I feel like they might be.
Of all Power Rangers, like the last 30 years of
Or
continuity?
yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I feel like they are.
They're definitely down there.
I mean,
I
I don't
can
know
make.
anything that would be like close to the same level or weaker, or even maybe as weak.
I mean, one could say in a way that the when the third season of Mighty Morphin, the ninja powers, they weren't all that spectacular either.
Sure.
I mean,
You say that, but they could literally do magic. Like they grew in size, they duplicated themselves, they like the turbo
but the
powers, they
only time
lose
they
fights
ever
to
could
foot
do
soldiers.
the only time they could ever do that though was when they're in the ninja outfits. Like once they morphed into their actual Power Ranger outfits, the ninja powers were almost non-existent at that point.
But they didn't
They
need
were
to at
like
that point. They
they're
could just whoop up, whoop butt.
yeah, so it's like
But what I'm saying is, even when morphed, the Turbo Rangers consistently lose fights to foot soldier Piranatrons.
I'm sorry, Billy, but this was your weakest creation.
That was once and always.
Could I make an argument, and I'm not doing this.
Sasha's face. You want to comment on that, Sasha, without being muted?
It took me half a second to remember what once and always was, and I just went, "Oh, snap!" Ben pulling out the truth serum over here.
What were you
Whoo!
saying, Brian? I'm sorry.
when I make this argument for why this could possibly be the weakest, keep in mind, I'm not saying this because this is regarded as one of the worst seasons ever, but don't they
Yes.
explicitly state in Super Mega Force that like that's a power-up mode, and then when they do the Gokai change into like other seasons, or the Super Mega mode, sorry, then isn't that a form that they can only keep for like a certain point or something, and then like they can get demorphed out of it by a really big hit or something?
Yeah, they did get demorphed by that with a
Right,
really
but
big hit.
that isn't a base set of powers. That's a power up.
Sure.
Right? That's like getting
Okay.
knocked out of a battleizer or getting knocked out of like the glitter armor or something like that. I'm talking about the base set of powers.
Well then, I honestly at that point then I think I might have to go with Turbo, honestly.
Yeah,
From
cause
root.
like, I mean, I'm trying to think of like, because like the thing is that everything past, essentially.
What about the Alien Rangers?
No.
The problem is the powers aren't weak. The Alien Rangers are just at a disadvantage because they're on a planet that,
Where they can't breathe.
yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah. So
that's a
that's
little
just
different.
weakest Ranger. Actually, no, that's still Mega Force.
No, I mean, like, and it comes down to the thing with me. It's like, after season two, like, I've only seen all the seasons
Yeah.
up to a certain point one time.
Yeah.
So it's really hard for me to gauge, like, if you ask this question, say, like, 10 seasons later down the road, where we're at like 15 seasons. Then it would give us a little bit more of a barometer to work
Okay.
with because it's like, okay, we've done 15 seasons of the 15 seasons, which one's the weakest? And then it would be easier to kind of go in and go, yeah, you know what? Turbo was the weakest of them all because
Okay.
then we'd be able to like rewatch more seasons and stuff like that. Because like again,
Sure.
like you said, Ben, like as we go through some of this, like this is our second time watching them. So.
Okay.
Well,
So I'm gonna date myself, and I actually remember watching this on rerun when it was on Jetix. Oh yeah, that
Oh,
was
wow.
fun. So I've watched it maybe a hand, maybe like a few more times than just two, but that sequence of them like actually like the I remember them stumbling out of the remnants of the Ch command center's bombing this destruction, right? And then I remember their tattered clothing. Not even the Ranger uniforms, just the actual clothing, right? From the dust and the debris and everything. And then I remember just the act of them flying off into space. But can we just talk about how, like, our team has not been Rangers for very long, and they don't know Zordon personally, but they do not hesitate, and they don't even think twice about like, hey, we have parents, we have families, we have school. No, we need to go
Yeah.
to space and stop Divatox.
Well,
Like,
my favorite moment in the whole two-parter might be when the place has blown up and they're all coming out after Divatox and everything has left. And Carlos has this like really puerile moment of just picking up a flag and throwing it in anger. He's
yes,
I love
yeah.
that.
Divatox this flag.
It's
Viva la
interesting
diva.
though, because keep in mind also. There was a massive change in Demetria from the first group, the original group, to this new group as well, because Demetria, she would always ask, talking questions and in riddles to the Rangers, like to the
Yeah,
core
Brian and
team.
I covered that extensively because
Yeah.
we reviewed the episode where we actually noticed that change.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
because it makes sense. You have new and experienced Rangers and you're useless. Plus, I'm sure they got some comments from some execs being like, "Can she stop? This is annoying."
But the other thing is that like I mean unless it was always the plan to go from talking in questions and riddles with the original team because they had been around for so long to being more of an actual mentor.
That might be the in-universe reason, Reese,
Yeah,
but
so it's like
I can guarantee it's because they just wanted her to stop. Yeah.
which is I'm not going to dwell on this too much, but it does kind of raise a question if we're looking at this from purely in universe, where she comes from the planet Inquirius, and that's just how her people talk. Is it that like in her interactions with like Tommy and the gang, she's eventually learned how to talk without asking a question or something, and she can be like empathetic
Ooh.
with people. Is that like she's learning from them, and that way she can use
I
that
just
information to like talk with the new Rangers?
can't imagine how this planet functions where everybody talks in
It's
questions.
what? literally the game from Whose Line Is It Anyways, where you have to talk in a question.
Yes.
Ugh, that's ugh.
To not make this episode take forever.
It because it
Yeah.
will.
Because it
Well,
will.
I wanted to probe one last point though, real quick.
Well, I wasn't
I'm
completely done. I was going to start
oh.
wrapping things up, like talking about season-wide stuff. But so if you've got one last thing
Yeah,
about
yeah.
this episode, go ahead.
So the
I
last
do.
thing is that if you remember at the end of the previous episode, you had Demetria and Blue Centaurion lead to go off to help Zordon. I think that's also kind of a key factor that led to the decision of we need to go to space to help fight because, yeah, as you said, Zordon's not really there. They don't know him. But if Demetria and Blue Centaurion are willing to leave Earth to fight for Zordon, they should be willing to fight for Zordon. And I think that's
Right,
kind of,
but
and I think that's where it stems from.
the thing isn't that the Rangers were ready to go to Eldar before they left.
Well,
Like,
they
aren't
weren't
they
going to
stupid?
Eldar, they're going to Sumerian.
Eldar is the Sumerian planet.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But the thing is they get a distress call from Zordon in part one. TJ's like TJ and the gang are ready to go fight for Zordon, and Demetria's like, "Nah, brah, you need to defend Earth. We're gonna go."
Yeah.
So the decision to go to space was already on their minds before all of this happens.
Yeah.
The dialogue, I do have a quick note about dialogue. There's this really awkward conversation in part one where Justin is telling them that his dad got the job and that they're moving. And for some reason, Carlos's dialogue or delivery is just so awkward that I don't know who's like what the director wanted from that because it's so weird.
I get that.
That's
Yeah.
my one note before we
All right.
continue.
Brian,
I
you
have
had another
one.
note? Yep.
I do, and it's just an observation, and it doesn't take away anything from the episode, but I did have this thought while I was watching the finale with the Piranha-trons, and that is, Rita and Mondo and Zed and Master Vile for mass-producing putties, Tengas, Cogs, what have you, and storming the command center then. I mean, Goldar even knew where it was. He went and set a bomb in the basement with Rito, and you're telling me that like the Piranatrons who have to exist on a very confined space have this much number to be able to storm it, but then King Mondo can like mass produce cogs at like rapid pace and they didn't do it then? You know what I mean? It's like, Finster could like roll like a, like a clay turd and put it into an oven and we have putties en masse. And but no, it's like the Piranatrons are the ones that do this. It's like I feel like the Tengu, like they hatch from eggs, and it's like those
Right, but they had a
can be
finite number of those.
sure. So maybe not them necessarily, but like the Cogs, like you see, like there's like a massive, like almost North Korean scale army of Cogs there, and it's like they didn't go and storm it then. I don't know. Anyways, just an observation I had.
Yeah.
Doesn't take away from the episode, but I was like, huh, interesting. All right.
Yeah. All right, so just to do some final summations for the season. Overall, how do we feel about the new Ranger team? Did they step into the shoes left behind, or are they still found wanting?
I love them. They're not perfect, but and maybe this is the nostalgia talking because In Space is my favorite season, one of my favorite seasons, but I love the team. I think, when the four of us last reviewed episodes together, that was so long ago.
We were
We
so
com
innocent then.
yeah, we commented about how they were trying to do these character-centric episodes and they weren't really working. Afterwards, some of the later episodes I think really helped to establish, like I'm thinking of like that TJ baseball episode,
Yeah.
right? That helped establish his personality really well. That helped, there's like these little things with the other characters that slowly gave us something with them so that we saw helped us see them more as Rangers. So yeah, I'm fine. I was waiting for this. Like I was so done with Mighty Morphin except for Johnny Young Bosch's character, except for Adam. But other than that, I was done with all of them.
But at the same time, it's like you had a lot of weird episodes too, like the episode where everyone's a robot and Carlos being turned into a vampire, and so you had some weird ones too at the same time with this new group.
Yeah.
And then they got cooked into a pizza. It just kind of naturally happens with all goofy things. But yeah, like I feel like the only, like, I think Carlos got good development as like a bigger brother to Justin. Like that
Yeah.
was the one big thing. And I felt that TJ, especially with that baseball episode that you mentioned, like that was kind of the launching point for TJ. Even though when we were first introduced to him, when he was on that bus with Cassie, he's like, no, we got to go check this out, and like make sure people are okay. Like it was kind of established there, but it was really established in that baseball episode. And it just kind of carried through to this last episode where, TJ kind of really took on like that leadership role, which kind of get slightly derailed going into the next season, though, but we'll get to that when we get to that.
Ryan, thoughts?
Turbo was going to be an interesting season for me to review because, my history with it and how it was literally my stopping off point for my initial run with Power Rangers, day one with Mighty Morphin. Went through those three seasons, Zeo, and then I quit in the middle of Turbo. So I was really interested to see, because I have seen In Space at this point, and I do love that season, and I do love those characters. And it was interesting kind of seeing the start of those characters' stories in Turbo, and yes, you're adapting a Sentai that is extremely goofy and has a lot of really goofy stuff, hence the pizza episode. You know what I mean? And I love that, but it's like they had a lot of stuff they had to work around in order to make this work. And I do think it works as a season. I do think maybe I'm still not the biggest fan of Justin, and I don't think I ever will be. He's never gonna be my favorite Blue Ranger, but I've come around to him, and I feel bad for him. I feel bad for the fact that he didn't have a dad for a bit, and it's like, oh, he shows up, and it's like, oh, cool, all right, we're good.
So that brings me to my next question. Did the Justin experiment work?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
I think what they tried to do was like, hey, have a kid that's relatable at the same age as other kids. But the problem is that I think when you made him, they didn't make him the average teen, kid. That was the
Yeah.
problem. They made him a smarty, nerdy kid, who is advanced and is in high school at the age of 12. And because of that, it's like, a lot of, I could see a lot of kids being turned off going like, that's not me.
Which I will.
Whereas like, if you look at Die Ranger and you see, 'cause in Die Ranger, the White Ranger is a child, and the child is an actual child. He's like a spoiled little brat sometimes, and he is a kid of his age. So kids who would be watching that Die Ranger could actually relate to that child.
Yeah.
So
I was gonna make the same argument, he's not like some, genius. He's just some kind of snotty kid. Whereas Justin, it's like, I don't know, I guess around the same age as him, and I was like, I don't know what this, I don't relate to this kid. And I don't know, I do wonder, because like, with Die Ranger's Die Ranger, but like with this, it's like I wonder if they had just done just a regular kid and not like a genius. And like, I feel like part of that has to be kind of, well, the former Blue Ranger was a super genius, and like, we kind of want to keep some of those traits or
former
something.
Blue
M
Ranger was
maybe.
Rocky.
Sorry, my bad.
Wait, it's okay. We all forget about Rocky too.
He's always a Red Ranger to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My bad. That was an actual lapse. And anyways, I couldn't be a Blue Ranger, just look at me. But Would it have worked though? Like in terms of, I don't know, would it have been better or worse if he had just been a regular kid? Because regular kids, like, I don't know, can they handle like the secret second life of being a Power Ranger like that? I don't know. Do they have the emotional maturity to be able to deal with that?
I mean, do teenagers?
Right, but Justin didn't
Sure.
have emotional maturity.
Fair enough.
That's the thing. Is Justin was still, he was still, oh, I'm going to be so sad because I might not know how to play soccer or something. That's not emotional maturity. That's being a kid. He was a normal kid that happened to be a genius. They
So,
gave, like, just make it.
listening to everybody, I'm gonna say the opposite. I literally thought Justin was fine. I never found him to be exceptionally annoying. I actually really liked seeing him in high school and how he navigated that kind of isolation. Especially like when the other Rangers, before the power switch, because the other Rangers had graduated, so his dynamic was very different now. So I, as a kid, as an immigrant kid, I was always felt very isolated from my classmates just because I had a very different experience than them. So I don't know. I found Justin actually, like, maybe just me as an adult, kind of relatable. Because I was always the kid that like didn't care about the things that other kids cared about. And, so I always felt like an outsider. So I thought that that part of it was decently handled. I think his backstory wasn't decently handled, but we've already touched on that. There's nothing else to add. But I think if they had just kind of grew him a little bit. Whereas like, with certain characters, as we'll see in later seasons, right, they have arcs where they don't where they start the season it differently than they end a season. And I don't know if I think Justin became more confident
Justin
in
was the
certain seasons,
same person at the
but
end of
largely,
it.
yeah, he was the same. So I think that's the only thing that I would say against J kind of in a negative way to Justin is that he doesn't really change, but he doesn't also need to. The only thing that really could have worked was maybe like weeding in the story of his dad throughout the season a little bit to give him like start the season with his dad like back in his life being like, my dad and I don't understand each other. I don't want to talk to him. And then leading up to this, like, oh, I can't leave my dad. He's the most important person to me.
I would
So.
have liked them to have done a lot more with the fact that post power transfer, he was the most experienced Ranger.
Yeah.
Like, I'm freaking 12, and I'm the most experienced superhero on the planet right now.
Yep.
Like, I think that would have been really interesting, but all right. So, what was your favorite episode, and why was it the pizza episode?
That is incorrect. That is your favorite episode. But wait, I'm sorry. What pizza episode?
Really?
Oh man. Now Ben has everybody scratching their heads, rushing to Wikipedia to look at the Power Ranger episodes and reread the descriptions to figure out what if
I'm not gonna like go looking, but I will say the baseball episode
I
with
knew you were gonna say
TJ,
that.
because
Yeah.
it's like, I mean, and I'm not saying this as an athlete myself, but like there's really good moments in that not only develop TJ as a character, but kind of also as a leader in a way with the team. But he's the way he's able to deal with that guy pitching and how he can't hit the pitch, and how eventually he's able to kind of break down that wall between them to have the pitcher actually teach him the pitch. But then not only teach him the pitch, but his teammates the pitch on how to hit that pitch. Like, I think that's a very groundbreaking thing there to like, because I don't think we've ever really seen something like that where like we've actually had like an antagonist type character break away from the other antagonist characters to then start teaching the other kids and stuff like that, that I can recall.
Yeah.
So like, and I really did like that, because you could see how the other antagonistic kid on the rival baseball team got upset about the pitcher helping out the other team, learning, teaching them how to hit the pitch. So it's like it's stuff like that I thought was pretty cool about that episode.
Cool.
I liked Cassie's best friend, as stupid as it was. The fact that her dog turned into a person and then turned back
Oh
into a
yeah.
dog.
I loved how in that episode the dog as a human is like he's always trying to find a way to tell her that he's actually her dog and he can never get to say it.
Yeah, so look, it's not a great episode. I'm not here to say it is, but it is one of the few episodes that one of the few like filler quote unquote episodes that I did get a chuckle out of me. So that one would be mine.
Cool.
Brian?
I think honestly, if I had to pick one episode that's like not the pizza episode just because it's iconic, I really liked the Robot Ranger.
Okay.
I thought it was cool. I love kind of stories that are kind of like that. And yes, it's a little kind of maybe dumbed down, and it's got elements of like they live in it a little bit. It's suspenseful, and I love the twist in it, and you didn't quite know what was going on. And I love stories where you start off and you're just dropped into the middle of it and you don't know what's going on. And then like you have to put the pieces together. And I thought for Power Rangers, it was a really good like mystery. I thought it was a really well done episode. And I thought Justin finding out that Soap was a robot, I really liked that. I thought it was cool.
I do have one question though. Where were those robot rangers when they could have used them in the Great Piranatron War?
Right?
And like where were the other non-ranger rangers? Like they didn't leave Earth, they?
Yeah, Phantom Ranger was like still around, I
No, the
guess.
Phantom Ranger left.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he did leave. Probably
But
should have.
like Tommy's still on Earth. Adam's still on Earth.
Tommy is at a dig site thinking he's going to be a
Oh, right,
paleontologist.
because he's got to fit like 8 years of college into 3 years.
Well, keep in mind, like they don't actually have the powers anymore until
I get the feeling with the way that they had portrayed those characters, it wouldn't have stopped them.
This is
True.
fact.
True.
That being said, let's wrap it up with this final question. Does Turbo deserve its reputation as the worst Power Rangers series of all time?
No, we already answered this question. The answer is Megaforce. But look, you and I talked about this way back in Days of Old when you were reviewing Turbo for
Yes,
the
for the
written
website.
column
Yeah.
for the website. And you'd asked to find something positive. So I went in trying to look at Power Ranger at Turbo initially differently. And I found a lot of things I enjoyed. I liked the new cast, right? I think at the time I understand why it is the weakest of the Zordon era for a lot of fans. Because it in a lot of ways, as Brian already iterated, adapting a goofy Sentai is a problem, deciding to recast your entire cast to the point where I think Johnny Young Bosch said somewhere that they didn't even know they were being recast until they saw the advertisement for their jobs. Like, what the heck?
Yeah, it that was those are some interesting stories that we've kind of heard about. From different perspectives on how that took place.
And it's a really interesting thing too, just because behind the scenes, like, weren't they also of the mindset that like the next season was going to be the final season at that point? So
I
I
wonder
can't
if at
imagine.
some point here they got the word like, yeah, we're can't we're you're getting one more season and then we're done with you.
Yeah, well, that's also because the ratings in general when the episodes of Turbo aired were really bad.
Though funny enough, the ratings slightly improved when the new cast happened.
It slightly improved, but it didn't improve enough to save it for,
I didn't say it did. I just said that the ratings got better. I didn't say they were good.
Yeah.
I can't help but feel just a little bit responsible for that, by the way.
Oh, well.
Hey, it's like for a kid's, like, we were just discussing this earlier. Like, I can see why for a lot of kids, this was the season where they cut it off. They were like, I'm done.
Yeah.
So because you're also dealing with a different age group at this point. Because you have, I think by this point, you have the kids that like started watching it when they were like 10 are now what, 15?
It's why I it's why I in that column that I talked to you for Sasha that you mentioned, I was very outspoken about the fact that Turbo was an opportunity for Power Rangers to grow up as its audience was growing up, right? With the Rangers graduating, and it could have been a view on how adults deal with being things and having to, but it kept being the same old thing over and over again. And I feel that in the long run, I feel in the long run that really that their inability to allow the show to adapt let a lot of the people that had stayed loyal wander away, right? Right, Brian? You just made a motion like you wanted to say something, so.
I do, because I just want to put some context into it, because like when Turbo was on, like I had just turned 10, and my thing was, so much had happened with the franchise at that point, and Turbo, like I already am not a huge fan of like cars as a theme for Power Rangers or Super Sentai, hence why I'm not a huge fan of Boom Boomger right now, but whatever. My thing was, there was also just so much change happening, and this was also when I was getting into comic books and pro wrestling and stuff, and like I was like kind of looking away from Power Rangers. And like, it's kind of funny because I've talked to so many people who said if you had just stayed around for In Space, you would have loved it, and I just didn't, because what I was being shown at the time, I wasn't buying at that point. Like, it just wasn't for me anymore. It just wasn't for me. It wasn't the same thing that I grew up with, which is fine. That happens, but it's just, I just didn't have the patience to stick around anymore.
You know, it's funny because it's like when you talk about that, like, because, you know, as a kid and you see something, you'll stick with it for as long as it entertains you. But like when you're an adult like us, it's like I can't tell you how many times I've watched the show and I will watch a season or two of it before I make my decision on whether or not it's a good show or not. Looking at you, that one Canadian show that's on Hulu, then that had the spin-off show Shoresy. I'm blanking on that.
Letter
You're not
Kenny
gonna
or
know it.
whatever.
Letterkenny.
Letterkenny, like, horrible show. Horrible show. I get why people like it.
How are
It's
you now?
not a good show. But I watched like 3.5 seasons of it to see why people liked it. And I just couldn't get through it. And, you know, but there are people who will literally just go watch one episode and go, nope, I'm done. Not my thing, without letting the show try to develop itself because they expect everything in that first episode. And so, like, that's kind of a thing, like, especially now, like, it's when you have, like, let's be honest, there's still a lot of adults who are watching Power Rangers. And, like, you know, I'm pretty sure the forums for Beast Morphers are like, oh, why are they doing this? And why are they doing that? And all this other stuff. And, like, why did the Pink Ranger become the Red Ranger? And all this, you know, it's like, and it's just based off of one episode. They're not letting it flesh itself out. You know, and stuff like that. And I think that's kind of the big problem with, you know, today's society and how we consume the meat,
But
this
I
media.
argue that if you they had kept watching Turbo, they would have just gotten the same status quo. That's the issue, right? Is this should have been the episode, the season where the show evolved, but it didn't. It stayed the same. It did the same thing over and over again. We ended up with more high school kids and the Power Rangers version of Scrappy Doo driving a monster truck, right? Like, it's just.
It's kind of like they took a step back to eventually take that step forward within space.
Yeah, because like the thing that really annoyed the crap out of me, like you alluded to, Ben, like just to go on to your point, was yeah, I was frustrated that the Rangers had just graduated high school and now this new group is going into high school as freshmen. And I'm like, why? Like it was
Even
We
though
don't actually know if they're freshmen, though.
Yeah, I don't even think they were freshmen. That's
It could
the
have been. I
thing.
don't know. They
Justin was
technically
Justin was
graduate
a
off
freshman.
screen next season.
Justin was a
Okay.
freshman. But no, the point being, I think we all agree this was a very big missed opportunity for the franchise.
Yes.
For it to not to evolve alongside its cast and more importantly, its audience. So that being said, I want to thank everybody out there for sticking with us while we finish the Turbo season. I want to thank everybody for listening. Before we get into our social wrap-ups and everything, I want to echo the apology that I made at the beginning of episode one. It is entirely on me. Don't blame me. Okay. That being said, Brian, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on TikTok at Blue Ranger B-Rye. You can also find me on Twitter at One Drunk Geek. Yeah, those are my main socials right now.
Mike, where can people find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on Twitter at @thelindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions. And of course, everything's up on the website, txhthockey.com. And for the show itself, at VFTG_PR on Twitter, and click on the link tree to find where you can find the show.
Sasha, my dear, where can people find you?
You guys can find me on Threads and Instagram at the Jewish Comics Queen. And I technically have a Twitter account. I don't remember what it's called at the moment. So next time.
As for me, you can find me on Twitter
At Bob T. Goldfish.
and you can find me doing the video game thing on Mondays and Fridays alongside my good friend Jordan, Mr. NNJ Johnson, over at.
Twitch.tv/321_TV.
And as such, it is time for us to say we will see you next season where hopefully nobody can hear us scream in space. And leave you by saying, words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. Guys, gals, non-binary pals, and all those beyond that spectrum. Be excellent to each other. Party on, my friends.
And be sure to grab your turbo morphers and shift into turbo.
And may the power protect you.
Let's rock it.